Hello, Yeshua. This is Rabin Deborah, and I am recording the lesson we had on Shabbat, which we didn't get all the way through. So I want to do this, do a completed audio only for this. You already have the notes to this teaching as well, so you could follow along as well as take your own notes. So again, we've been doing a series on wisdom, knowledge, revelation, understanding, and now this is discernment. And as we've been studying it, we can see that these gifts walk hand in hand. These are gifts of revelation that reveal something. 1 Corinthians 12:10, this is the Amplified translation. Again, going over all the different gifts of the Spirit, but what we're going to look at is to another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. The Complete Jewish Bible says to another, the ability to judge between spirits. So again, we're living in a time where we need this gift in operation in our lives. And this grows by learning the voice of the Ruach. Yeshua says, "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." So we need to learn how to know his voice, know how he speaks to us, and know the word of Yahweh Elohim, because the Ruach will always speak in agreement with his word. Vincent Ward studies regarding discerning of spirits say it should be correctly discernings, as in plural, distinguishing between the prophetic utterances, whether they proceed from true or false spirits. Now we're living in a day where there's a lot of people calling themselves prophets. Yes, this is a gift that operates, but again, if we want to know how a prophet operates, we need to look at the prophets in the Tanakh and how they operated. They only spoke what the fathers told them to speak. Along with their prophecies came correction, a call to repentance, a call to obedience, and a warning. If they did not heed these warnings, then judgment would come. They did not go around tickling ears or telling people what they wanted to hear, but what the Father spoke to them through the Ruach, the Spirit, what they needed to. So we see in 1 Timothy 4:1, but the Spirit or Ruach explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Then 1 John 4:1, I'm reading from the New American Standard, but I'll transliterate some words into the Hebrew meaning as we go along. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Elohim, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit, Ruach of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua HaMashiach has come in the flesh is from God. So again, there is a testing in the spiritual realm of whether this word or this prophecy or even a manifestation of, again, the Bible says that HaSatan appears as an angel of light to bring deception. We see that in the cults. The Greek word for discern, this is Strong's G1253, and this is actually from a Greek word study, is diakrisis. It's a feminine noun from diakrino. It means to distinguish, decide, judge, a distinguishing, discerning clearly. A synonym would be diagnosis, judgment, and through understanding or opinion. I believe that's where we get the word diagnosis, again, to make a judgment or of opinion of what is going on. In short, is ability to sense when something is not true but deceptive. This quote, discernment is a work of the Ruach HaKodesh within us that warns us when something is not quite right or not kosher. according to the word. It is knowing that something is not right, what some would call a check in your spirit or a warning signal within. The ability to judge between spirits, popularly called discernment of spirits, is the ability to tell whether a particular phenomena is from the Ruach of Elohim, or the Spirit of God, from a person's own spirit, or from some demonic spirit. One might call it the supernatural ability to avoid being deceived. This particular gift is often needed in order to discern whether healings, miracles, and prophecies are truly from Elohim. It is also an indispensable part of the spiritual equipment of anyone who undertakes to expel demons. To complicate matters, there are healings, miracles, and prophetic utterance that are not from God, but from other spirits, even from HaSatan. Okay, why? In order to deceive. Yeshua warns us of this in Matthew 24:24, and that's why we have the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim. He has given us, again, he said he would send another helper, another comforter to be with us, because he would be with the Father. Matthew 24:24, for false messiahs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Verse 25, behold, I have told you in advance. So again, he's warned us that these things, and since the time that he left this earth waiting to return upon the Father's command, HaSatan has been active in bringing a spirit of deception among God's people. And we need to know, again, how to discern these things, especially in the days we are living in. There is even more deception going on because of the ability to deceive people through, again, inventions, AI, again, false, you know, pushing UFO sightings, and that's a whole nother study. They're actually demonic manifestations. YouTube, there's so many voices on the internet that we need to discern whether this person is truly an anointed one from Yahweh Elohim or a deceiver. Acts 16, now this talks about Paul and his, again, he was on his way to a meeting. Let's begin with verse 14. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of Elohim, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul or Shaul. When she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. Again, that same spirit is in operation today. We see it again in horoscopes, in all these, you know, satanic false prophets. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming you the way of salvation. Now, it sounds good. It sounds like, hey, she's a walking billboard for them. She's, you know, encouraging them. But again, we are reading it from, again, a printed word, so we don't know the intonation of how she was saying it. But I believe she was saying it in a mocking way. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul or Shaul was greatly annoyed. So here he's picking up in his spirit that this is a demonic spirit that is harassing them. So again, Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, again, speaking to the spirit, I command you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. And we had a question a few Shabbats ago about what was the correct verbiage to use when casting out demons. And I believe here it's showing us exactly, I think the Tree of Life just changes the wording, just turns it around. It says, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I command you to come out of her. The New American Standard says, I command you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to come out of her, saying the same thing. So Yeshua has again given us this authority in his name. It is the name that the spirits, the demons, listen to. So I believe this is again a confirmation of how we are to, again, when we are dealing with demonic spirits, number one, to be prayed up, know our authority in Messiah. This is the quote formula of how to do it. Second Corinthians 11:14. Again, a warning. No wonder, for even HaSatan disguises himself as an angel of light. Okay, so disguises himself as a deceptive spirit appearing as an angel. Again, we see in a lot of these cults, they had a deceptive manifestation of an angel that gave them a revelation that was totally opposite from the word of God that they fell for. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. And here, this was okay. The situation was that the people in Thessalonica, some false people, brethren, were coming in saying that Yeshua has already returned. You've been, quote, left behind, in other words. So I want to read this in context, beginning with verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach and our gathering together to him. So then this is a future end times prophecy that Yeshua will return and we will be gathered to him, that you be not quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come, or the return of Yeshua has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So here he's pointing out, this is what has to happen before this event can come. Again, warning them, do not be deceived. Again, diagnosis or diakrisis, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of Elohim, displaying himself as being Elohim. So here too, there has to be a temple for him to again take his seat in. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? Again, bringing them back to remembrance. See, here we see the enemy trying to steal the word from them that Paul or Shaul had already warned them and talked to them about. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. So again, his time, HaSatan's time manifestation, this anti-Messiah will only be for a certain time, and Yeshua will destroy him by the words of his mouth. What? At his appearance. Verse 9, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of HaSatan, with all power, signs, and false wonders, with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So again, we see there's going to be, and we see it now. I mean, we're living in a time where there's so much deception out there. And, even again, people who are, calling themselves, from every spectrum, ministers of Yahweh that are speaking contrary to the word of God. So we need to guard our heart and our eyes and our ears and make sure that what we are hearing is in accordance with the Word of God and not taken out of context. And again, if we are listening to somebody and somebody had a comment like this, well, what about somebody who, I mean, they're teaching from the Word, but I have a check in my spirit. Well, then you need to pray, because again, that person could, be teaching from the Word, but not believe what they're teaching and just, drawing people onto themselves. So we need to listen again to the voice of the Ruach, that check in our spirit, the Ruach telling us something's not right. So if you feel something's not right, bring it to the Father in prayer, ask him to reveal it to you. And if he's warning you, then, don't listen to that person. There's plenty of good, godly teachers out there. From, in the Messianic, Jewish perspective, believers in Messiah, and even some, again, good God-fearing churches as well. So again, we need to, this happens, there's deception in both courts. There's things that there's people out there that call themselves Messianic that are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God and drawing people away to their own way of thinking. So again, we need to be discerning. And again, we need to be discerning by knowing this Word inside and out, studying it, reading it, being a Berean, going back to find out if these things be true. This is why I give my notes out, so you can do even further research and study. And allow the Ruach HaKodesh to speak to your heart. In Revelation 13, 1-4 talks about, again, the false prophet, the false Messiah that would come forth. Revelations 13, 12-15. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come out from heaven and the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. Again, we are living in a time where, with, again, technology out there, it's very easy to be able to deceive people. We see artificial intelligence being promoted and pushed, replacing using people and using these AI, again, that look like people that seem to be, quote, all-knowing and are, again, deceiving people. Not to mention ordinary imposters who neither produce genuine healings nor draw on any spirit more supernatural than their own spirit of greed. Again, they used to be called, the word that was used was charlatans, going out there and, not being true believers, but manifesting false signs and wonders. And just for the sake of making money. 2 Timothy 3, 1-8 warns us, but understanding this, that in the last days, hard times will come. Again, a warning. This is what you need to watch out for. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, hard-hearted, unforgiving, backbiting, without self-control, brutal, hating what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, holding to an outward form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. So here's the key. They may outward form of godliness. They may look good. However, denying its power, who? The power of Yahweh Elohim. Again, you shall know them by their fruits. For among these are those who slip into households and deceive weak women, weighed down with sin, led by various desires, always learning, yet never able to come into the knowledge of the truth, Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moshe, so did these people oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and worthless concerning the faith. Again, today, do these people necessarily enter homes by knocking on the door? No, it's through media. It's through television. It's through the internet. It's through radio. Again, we need to guard who we hear and not be, again, just followers of a quote, popular person, but make sure that the teachers we are listening to are truly sent from Yahweh Elohim. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. So again, Paul's warning, it is not going to get any better. It is going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived. And we are living in those times. Ever since Shaul penned his letter, commentators and preachers have applied this passage, 2 Timothy 3:13, to their own times. And I'm sure it could have looked like that because especially World War I, World War II, these were world wars. And it could easily have been interpreted, you know, that, wow, this is the end of the time. This is the end, you know, the end of wars. But we see that those wars did end. Why? Because it wasn't yet in God's time frame yet. It was still a warning. Someday the decadent generation then alive will in whose days Yeshua the Messiah returns, and who is to say that it will not be our own. Again, we see Yeshua, Shaul, Peter, the prophets, from Genesis to Revelation warned us of signs, what to be looking for in the end of days. That's why he gave us the Ruach HaKodesh, that spirit of discernment. In the Acharit HaYamin, or end of days, there will come trying times characterized by moral and spiritual decline. Again, here we see this today happening. If you look at statistics, we see more and more spiritual decline, more perversion and moral decay being shoved in people's face on TV, in public. This will be accompanied by natural and social disasters. I mean, we see that happening more and more, natural disasters, social disasters, as it is clear from Messiah's own description of this period. Again, study Matthew 24:25. In fact, we're going to do a study on that down the road here. But here the emphasis is on the decadence of individuals. In the rabbinic writings can be found similar descriptions of the birth pains of the Messiah. Again, these are writings and insights from the rabbis. I'm not referring to rabbinical traditions, but these are rabbinical commentaries and insights from studying the scriptures. And there's some good insights here. In the rabbinic writings can be found similar descriptions, again, of the birth pains of the Messiah. Now, for them, these birth pains were coming towards, again, the first appearance of Messiah. But we know that it is the second appearance, Yeshua's return, because the nation of Israel did not accept, the nation as a whole, Yeshua as the Messiah, Yeshua ben Yosef. However, there was a remnant, there was a group, including priests as well, that did accept Yeshua as the Messiah. You see that in Acts, that many of the priests came to faith in Messiah. But as a nation as a whole, they didn't accept him, but he will return. And again, they will see with their eyes that this Messiah is truly Yeshua HaMashiach. So one well-known saying from the Talmud suggests two equally likely possibilities. Rabbi Yochanan says the Son of David will not come except in a generation which is either completely righteous or completely guilty. Again, we see that in his first coming, but it'll wax worse in his return. But the more usual picture tends toward the latter, as is seen in the citation from the Mishnah describing And the Mishnah is a rabbinical commentary describing what can be expected when the Messiah is about to come. On the heels of the Messiah, our chutzpah, insolence, will multiply and honor will vanish. The vine will give its fruit, but wine will be costly. The government will be converted to minute heresy without being admonished, and houses of learning will be prostituted. In other words, compromised for sale. The Galil will be destroyed and the Golan, in referring to Israel, or the leaders devastated. The people of the frontier or the leaders will go around begging, but no one will show them mercy. The wisdom of the Torah teachers will degenerate. Those who fear sin will be despised. Again, we see that today, those who are standing up against sin, we are hated, and truth will disappear. Youths will shame the faces of the old, and old man will stand up in the presence of the children. So here we see a disrespect for those, quote, the elderly, or those, again, with wisdom. They will be disrespected, and they are going to expect those to bow down to, again, the youths who have no experience or wisdom or knowledge. Again, role reversal. The son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the people of his own household. Again, this is quoted Micah 7:6. The face of the generation is like the face of a dog. Shameless, a son will not be embarrassed even before his father. In fact, embarrassed of his sin. So on whom should we lean? On our Father who is in heaven. Again, this is a quote from Micah, which Yeshua quoted. For son treats father with contempt. Daughter rises up against mother. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the people of his own house. Mark 13:12. This is Yeshua speaking. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This can be taken two ways. The one who will endure until the end of our lives, until our time here on earth is over, we have remained faithful, again, will experience, again, that total salvation, and we are in his presence, but also the end of days, standing on the truth, even in the midst of all the lies and the hatred against the truth going on. A midrash from around 500 CE, or the Common Era, gives this picture. And when the Holy One, blessed be he, sees there is no righteous in the generation, and no pious in the land, and no charity in the hands of man, then he remembers his own charity, compassion, and mercy, and helps himself with his great arm. Again, the arm, that right arm is the arm of God, is always a reference to a Yeshua, whose length is like the length of the world from one end to another. Again, this is a midrash. Instantly, Israel are redeemed among themselves, and the Messiah becomes visible to them. So right here, we see, again, an end time prophecy regarding, Paul mentions that all Israel will be saved. This is at the end time when Yeshua miraculously delivers them from total annihilation from their enemies that surround them. Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour out on the house of David and on those living in Jerusalem a spirit of grace and prayer, and they will look at me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will be in bitterness on his behalf like the bitterness for a firstborn son. Again, this is the revealing, the revelation of, again, speaking of, this is speaking of the end times, of Yeshua, that he is the Messiah they have been looking and waiting for. Warning regarding the condition of society in the last days. Again, we see this where, I mean, again, it's getting worse and worse. You know, there's a teaching out there. It's called dominion teaching, that Yeshua is not going to return until Christians totally, you know, take over the world and are in authority. Well, we see according to the word, that's not what the word says. It says things are going to get worse and worse before Yeshua's return. It is not going to be believers will rule and reign in Messiah on this earth when he returns. Hallelujah. So again, we see from 2 Timothy, again, this list: lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God or Elohim or Yahweh Elohim, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lust, ever learning yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, are like Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses and resisted the truth, again producing their own false signs and wonders. But Moshe's signs and wonders overtook their false ones, of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith, evil seducers that shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the days we are living in, many people are falling prey to deceptive teaching, false prophets, and the spirits of deception. Again, 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Ruach clearly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, following deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the hypocrisy of false speakers whose own conscience has been seared. In other words, they have no guilt of the false teachings they're speaking. Such demonic teachings come from the hypocrisy of liars. The devil uses human means. These false teachers are referred to. So let's look at these scriptures, Acts 20, 28 to 31. Take care of yourselves and all the flock. And this is an admonition to leadership, of which the Ruach HaKodesh has made you overseers to shepherd the community of God or Elohim, which he obtained with the blood of his own, Yeshua. We know that's who he's speaking about. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among yourselves will arise men speaking perversions to draw the disciples away after themselves. Therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day for 3 days, I did not stop warning you with tears. So here, warning about things that would happen, the deception that would happen. Again, the savage wolves, again, coming in, in sheep's clothing, disguising themselves as believers who are not. Again, we see this even in our congregation, you know, people coming in to visit with their own agenda and trying to, you know, correct us and push their false teachings. We've had this happen 18 years, you know, several times. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed and the one destined to be destroyed. Again, speaking of false messiahs, we are not to be deceived by people who, quote, call themselves, you know, the Messiah. 2 Peter 3:4, first of all, understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing, following after their own desires and saying, where is this promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on just as it was from the beginning of creation. Again, sowing seeds of doubt in people's minds. 1 John 2:22-23, who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah? This one is the anti-Messiah, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Father, Son has the Father. The one who acknowledges the Son also has the Father. Loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, if it was true back then, how much more is it true now with the ability to spread these lies via social media and the internet? Again, we see the echad, the unity of the Father and the Son here. Verse 2, you know the Ruach Elohim by this. Every spirit that acknowledges that Messiah Yeshua has come in the flesh is from Yahweh Elohim. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Yeshua is not from God or Yahweh Elohim. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, one who is against Messiah, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. You, 1 John 4:4-6. You are from God, children, or Yahweh Elohim, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, so they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Why? Because they tickle ears. We are from God. Whoever knows God or Yahweh Elohim listens to us, but whoever is not from God, Yahweh Elohim, does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, we are to test the spirits. We are to test what spirit is coming out of the people, person we are listening to. That's why we need to guard, you know, who we are to listen to. I don't listen to just anybody. I make sure that the teachers I listen to, who I learn from, are people of integrity. Again, there's thousands and thousands of videos out there, but I don't listen to every single one of them. You know, again, we need to be led by the Ruach HaKodesh. again, as shepherds, the Ruach gives us what to teach you, to edify you, to build you up, to strengthen your faith with the word, not to gather followers to ourselves, but to disciple and, again, make followers of Yeshua. We are to follow him. Yes, he uses us, but we need to continually point you to him, to the word, to the faithfulness of Yahweh Elohim. This is an important principle for our age. After years of having lost touch with the spiritual realm altogether, many people are rediscovering it, but have not the discernment in which spirits are from Yahweh Elohim. Not every inner voice or feeling is from Yahweh. We need even to discern in our own lives, okay, is this the Ruach speaking to me? Is this just my own imagination, my own thoughts? Again, it's the Ruach HaKodesh speaks to us in our innermost being. It says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The Ruach is always going to speak to you in accordance and in line with the word of Yahweh Elohim. It's within, deep within. Again, the area of the heart, because the heart, again, is the seat of the Ruach HaKodesh in our spirits. Not every inner voice or feeling is from Yahweh Elohim. So again, we need to test the spirits. Some are merely from ourselves, just, you know, our thoughts. Sometimes, you know, we're bombarded with thoughts and thinking, and, you know, we need to discern, because that's where the enemy attacks us too. And we'll try to plant seeds of doubt, seeds of condemnation, seeds of, again, contrary to the word of the Ruach, or expressions of our own wishes and fears. Again, consequences of being overtired or overwrought. Others are truly from the spiritual realm, but unfortunately from HaSatan and his demons, not from Yahweh Elohim and his angels. By the same token, not every prophet or religious teacher is from Yahweh Elohim, yet some are. So again, our guide is the word of God. Is it leading us to the word? Is it in agreement with the word? We have to ask the Father to, you know, increase that gift of discernment within us, so that again, that we know that this is the Father speaking to our hearts. You know, a lot of people will say, well, God told me. Yes, in some cases, he does speak to us. He does, but I think we have to be careful when we use that, verbiage to, I believe, you know, a better way is, well, I believe this is what the Ruach is speaking to my heart. Why? Because we are to test the spirits. We are to test the prophets. We are to test if this is truly from God, and we shouldn't become offended if we receive correction. And somebody says, well, I don't really believe that's in agreement with God. Again, that's a way of, you know, protecting one another as well from deceitful spirits. Yes, the Father does speak to his children. Why? Because Yeshua says, my sheep know my voice. So obviously he speaks to us, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So again, there's that testing, that praying, Father, I thank you that I know the voice of my Messiah Yeshua. I know the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh. Thank you, Father, that you keep me from deceiving spirits in any way, shape, or form. Again, that's why we need to be careful of who we listen to, what we are reading. As many people have fallen away from the true faith just by reading or listening to somebody who they may sound good. Again, the word warns us, hey, they may sound good, but they're not from God. 1 John 4, 2 and 3, again, we read, given one criterion by which to test the spirits, again, this, what's the test? Has Yeshua, again, if you maybe see a manifestation and it appears like it's an angel, that again, we are not to seek visions of angels. That is Yahweh's prerogative. But again, HaSatan appears as an angel of light, or, you know, and the test is, has Yeshua come in the flesh? And if it's a spirit from HaSatan, they will not agree with that. If it's, again, even a true angel of Yahweh as well will not receive worship to themselves. They always point you to the Father. We see the manifestation of angels all through scriptures. And again, one time, and I think it's in Revelation, where John fell down before him, an angel, and the angel instructed them. I'm not sure if it's, I'll have to find the correct scripture, but said not to worship him, but to worship only Yahweh Elohim. Again, Yeshua is Yahweh Elohim in the flesh, and that's another test. If you are listening to a teacher and they are telling you, well, Yeshua was only a man, he was not Yahweh Elohim in the flesh, that should raise a red flag. Because he came as a man, yet without sin. Yahweh was his father. Again, the seed comes from man. If he could not, he had to be, again, perfect without sin. Yet he submitted himself, came here in the flesh, experienced every temptation, yet without sin. He did not sin. He did not compromise in any way, shape, or form. He continually said, he and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He attested to, again, his divinity. That's one of the things that upset the Pharisees. And then they accused him of blaspheming. Because why? Because he said, yes, he is Yahweh. He's I am. So if somebody is saying that he was just a man and not Yahweh in the flesh, and there's some teachers out there that teach that, even messianic, you are not to listen to them, because that is not true. Yeshua, out of his own lips, Again, shared, talked about the oneness of him and the Father, uses the term, I am. Again, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Yes, as a man, he listened again to the voice of his Father, spoke only what his Father told him to speak, did what his Father told him to do, but that in no way did not make him less than Yahweh Elohim. Again, we see the triunity of the Father. You know, Yahweh is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Again, I always say the first verse of the Bible is establishes that fact. And if you don't believe that, you're not going to believe the rest of the word. In the beginning, Yahweh or Elohim, I use the full name Yahweh Elohim, but here in the Hebrew, it's Elohim. Again, referring to, again, the unity of the Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator, so he can manifest himself any way he wants to. And we see even in the Tanakh, the many, when you see angel of the Lord, these were the pre-manifestations of Yeshua HaMashiach himself. John says, in the beginning was the Word. And I want to correct, quote this correctly, because I study from different translations. So sometimes it's, you know, it gets confusing which translation I'm thinking about at the time. But this is the New American Standard. In the beginning, so here John is establishing the deity of Yeshua. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Again, we look at Genesis 1. It says, how was the world created? By the words of Yahweh Elohim. All things came into being through him, referring to Yeshua, and apart from him, Yeshua, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him, Yeshua, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14, and the Word, Yeshua, became flesh. He became as a man. Why? So he can dwell among us, tabernacle with us. And we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Again, 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Yeshua as Messiah coming in human flesh. This one is a deceiver and the anti-Messiah. Conscience, like every other component of human nature, can be ruined. Again, Romans 1 talks about, let's look a bit about that, about a conscience being seared. Again, a certain scriptures are coming to my mind. Let's see. Let me just find where I want to start here. Okay, beginning with verse 18. For the wrath of God, or Yahweh Elohim, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God, Yahweh Elohim, is evident within them, for God, Yahweh Elohim, made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Again, going back to the very beginning, creation. For even though they knew God, Yahweh Elohim, they did not honor him as God, Yahweh Elohim, or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So again, kleptomania, an example is kleptomaniacs. Pathological liars are examples of people whose conscience don't function properly. They have no, they don't feel what they are doing is wrong. Again, we see that in every area of life. We see that in the area, again, of sexual immorality. Again, people living together, even some I've known, again, believe, quote, believers living together, feeling no guilt or conscience that no, that's okay. Homosexual behavior, transgender. Again, there's so it's getting worse and worse and worse, enforcing this upon our children. Again, their conscience being seared. And that's what happens. That's again why we need to guard our hearts and eyes, because they are trying to, again, through commercials, through pushing this immoral in agenda, trying to make us think, well, this is okay. There's nothing wrong with this. Again, it's a perverted brainwashing. Do those who habitually cheat on their taxes or make under the table payments to for favors have seared conscience? Yes, if they have no awareness of the wrongness of what they are doing, or if they are convinced that they are an exception to the rule. But let him who is without sin cast the first stone. We must examine the sensitivity of our own conscience so that we may go and sin no more. So again, we need to, again, they are living that lifestyle, or, you know, that again, that no conscience of sin, number one, because they've closed their heart to the truth of the word. But again, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been guilty of this. However, I know in my own life, I was never happy in my sin. I always felt I still had a conscience. I still had an awareness that what I was doing was wrong. Why? Because the seeds of my grandmother, the word that was planted in my life, was there, and I hadn't hardened my heart totally. So I still had, again, and that's what brought me to Messiah. You know, again, people coming across my path and planting the word of Yahweh in my heart, and again, I knew that that was the truth. So again, we must examine our own conscience as well, and even as believers, guard our hearts from becoming hardened, from not believing the word, doubting. We need, again, we need to the last authority. If God says it's true, then it's true, period. I don't care if somebody comes and says, well, no, that's not true. Well, sorry, you know, God's word trumps your opinion. However, as born again redeemed people of the Almighty Yahweh Elohim has not left us defenseless in this spiritual battle that is waging war to deceive the world in preparation for the anti-Messiah to be revealed in the last days. The word has a lot to say about discernment. The following verses are from the Tree of Life version. And the Hebrew word for discernment is bin, a verb meaning to discern, to perceive, to observe, to pay attention to be intelligent, to be discreet, to understand in the causative sense, to give understanding, to teach in the reflective sense, to consider diligently. Again, depending on the context that the verb is being used. People can perceive by means of their senses, eyes, ears, touch, taste, but actual discernment is not assured. Those who hear do not always understand, Daniel 12:8. In the final analysis, only God gives and conceals the understanding and gives us the revelation that we are seeking. Psalm 119, 104, from your precepts I get discernment. Therefore, I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 125, I am your servant. Give me discernment so I may understand your testimony. So here this is a cry for, again, to give understanding, one of the word, meaning of being. Give me understanding so that I understand your testimonies. Give me discernment again, understanding of what is, false, what is not true. Proverbs 1:4, to give discernment to the naive, knowledge and discretion to the root, to the youth. How does that come? Through the word. Proverbs 2:2-3, making your attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to discernment. Again, we incline our heart. Yes, if you call out for insight, lifting up your voice for discernment, so we can cry out for discernment, cry out for him to lean us to his truth. Proverbs 2:11, discretion will watch over you, discernment will guard you. So that spirit, the ruach of discernment, will guard us from being deceived if we listen. Proverbs 3:21, my son, hold on to wisdom and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. Again, what's wisdom and discernment? We get wisdom and discernment from the word of Yahweh Elohim. Proverbs 10:23, as doing wickedness is a delight to a fool, so is wisdom to a man of discernment. In other words, a man of he delights in wisdom and discernment. Proverbs 11:12, one who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but one with discernment remains silent. Again, that works hand in hand with wisdom, knowing what to say and what not to say at any particular time or situation. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to one who lacks sense, but with discernment walks straight. So discernment will keep us on that straight and narrow path. Proverbs 28:2, when a country is in rebellion, it has many rulers, but a man of discernment and knowledge maintains order. Again, God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of order. And that goes within congregations as well. There has to be order, spiritual order. Isaiah 29:14, therefore, behold, once more, I will do marvelous works among this people, a marvel and a wonder. So the wisdom of their wise will perish, and the discernment of their discerning will be concealed. Again, talking about fleshly wisdom, fleshly, again, hiding discernment from, again, flesh, men of fleshly wisdom. Isaiah 44:19, no one reflects in his heart with no knowledge or discernment to say, I burnt half of it in the fire, and I also baked on its coals. I roasted meat and ate. Then I make the rest of it an abomination. Should I bow before a block of wood? So again, regarding false worship, discernment, regarding Isaiah's dealing with false worship of, again, pagan gods, idols. Isaiah 56:11, and dogs are greedy. They never have enough. They are shepherds with no discernment. So here again, this is the opposite. Shepherds with no discernment. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all. So we as shepherds, we need to walk in discernment. We need to teach the discernment of Yahweh Elohim. But here he's pointing to shepherds with no discernment. Daniel 5:14, I have heard about you, how a spirit of the gods is in you, and how there has been found in you insight, discernment, and extraordinary wisdom. Again, in context, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking to Daniel. He recognized, again, the spirit of Yahweh Elohim, even though Nebuchadnezzar didn't, again, because they worshipped all kinds of false gods, but they knew that he heard truth through the God that Daniel worshipped. And that he, again, walked in this understanding and discernment. But Daniel was always careful to give the glory to the Father for any interpretation or discernment he had. But it was seen in him. Again, this pagan leader saw that discernment and extraordinary wisdom in Daniel's life. Because Daniel, even in the midst of Babylon, even in the midst of paganism, did not in any shape or form compromise his faith in Messiah his faith in Yahweh, his faith in the Torah, the word of Yahweh. Obadiah 1:7, all your allies will force you to the border. The men that are at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. Those who he bred will set a trap under you. Quote, he has no discernment. Again, we see this. Again, that happened. A warning during, the warning of the captivity and judgment that was going to come on Israel. But also we'll see that in operation in the end of times, that men that are at peace will deceive you. Again, there's a lot of governmental deception going on in the world. Philippians 1:9. Now this I pray, that your love might overflow still more and more in knowledge and depth of discernment. The scriptures above clearly show two things. Number one, to those who know the word, discernment comes from the word of Yahweh Elohim via his Ruach. Two, those who do not know the word or Yahweh Elohim have no discernment and therefore are easily deceived by demonic deception. The Torah warns us about false prophets as well. Deuteronomy 13, 2-4. Suppose a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises up among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder he spoke to you comes true while saying, let's follow other gods that you have not known and let's serve them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Adonai your God is testing you to find out whether you love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So again, the test is, are they trying to draw you away from the word? Are they trying to say you don't have to obey that word? Doesn't matter what the signs and wonders follow. It's, again, what are they saying? Again, God allows them to test our hearts to find out whether we love Adonai our God and whether we are going to be obedient to him. Romans 16:18, for such people do not serve our Lord the Messiah, but only their own belly. By their smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so he may become wise. Again, we are to walk in the wisdom of Yahweh Elohim, not the wisdom of the world. Ephesians 5:6. Again, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such thing, God's judgment or Yahweh Elohim's judgment comes on the children of disobedience. Colossians 2:4. I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive sounding arguments. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the one destined to be destroyed. There will be things happening that will shake your faith if it is not grounded in the word of the Almighty Yahweh Elohim and our Messiah Yeshua. Again, Yeshua's warning in Matthew 24. Yeshua answered to them, be careful that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and will lead many astray. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must happen, but it is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are the only beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to persecution and will kill you. You will be hated by all the nations because of my name. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. The word astray in the Greek is planeo, and it means to cause to wander, lead astray, in the passive tense, to wander or go astray. Again, referring particularly of persons. I'm not going to go through all these references. You can study that. Figuratively, to mislead or cause to err, to deceive, to cause error, to mistake, form a wrong judgment, to be deceived, misled, to seduce a people into rebellion, to seduce from the truth, to be seduced, go astray, specifically to seduce to idolatry. With a willingness to provide answers to the disciples' questions, Yeshua began to download concrete information and give a detailed list of specific signs that they would see on their journey toward the wrap-up or consummation of all things. These are actually listed in the three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the Synoptic Gospels. Again, this is the list, and we're going to work towards the end here. Worldwide deception. Deception in the churches, wars, rumors of wars, commotions, widespread terrorism, warring political systems, clash of culture, ethnic conflicts, famines, economic instability, pestilences, emergence of unknown diseases, example, COVID, great seismic activity, earthquakes, widespread persecution, legal prosecution of Christians. We see this happening in parts of Europe. Imprisonment of believers. We see this happening in North Korea, in Islamic countries, again, in anti-truth, false countries that are against the truth. Imprisonment of believers, again, emergence of false prophets, love of many waxing cold, fearful sights, signs from the heavens. But here we get positive, the worldwide preaching of the gospel. Again, we have the ability now more than any other time, again, because of technology. Again, technology has a two-edged sword. The positive side is, yes, we are able to spread the word of truth, but the other edge is how Satan is using it to spread his lies and deception as well. The weapons of our warfare, Ephesians 6:10-18, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, Yahweh Elohim, so you are able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Again, this is our spiritual warfare. This is, again, I believe, points to the garments of the Kohen Hagadol, those priestly garments, that spiritual armor that we are to put on and not take off. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There is a spiritual warfare going on, and the enemy uses people, but Yahweh Elohim also uses people to fight the lies of the enemy, his people, his called out ones. Again, his disciples, his Talmudim, who put their faith in and walk with Yeshua, our Messiah. Therefore, take up the full armor of Yahweh Elohim so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil and after you have done everything to stand firm. Stand firm then. Again, this is a command. Buckle the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap your feet in readiness for the good news of Shalom. Above all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh Elohim. Pray in the Ruach on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Kedoshim. or holy set apart believers in Messiah. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through Yahweh Elohim for the tearing down of strongholds. We are tearing down false arguments, what? Deceptions, and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah, ready to punish all disobedience, whenever your obedience is complete. First of all, the object of our warfare is different. As Ephesians 6:12-13 puts it, we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual fortresses of evil in this heavenly realm, which shall here call strongholds in every arrogance. Again, the evil leaders, the evil rulers in this world are, again, tools of HaSatan. And secondly, the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. They are not the weapons of aggressive hot-temperedness Shaul's old nature would be tempted to use. Rather, they are war equipment God provides. Again, Ephesians 6:13, truth, righteousness, the good news, trust, salvation, the Spirit and the Word of God. Again, that armor. These have God's power for demolishing demonic forces and the schemes which unredeemed human nature dreams up to prevent men from coming to a genuine knowledge of Yahweh Elohim. With these spiritual weapons, we take every thought captive, even the most antagonistic and worldly, and make it obey the Messiah, forcing even anti-God ideas to work for good. Again, we see that God used in the history of Israel, pagan lands, pagan leaders to bring correction upon his people. And again, we could see that, you know, happening today as well. Again, this is a season of Teshuvah. This is a time where we need to examine our hearts to make sure that we are in the faith, that we are walking in the faith and trust of Messiah Yeshua. Praise God that he preserved this holy word, his word speaking to our hearts from Genesis, Bereshit, to Revelation, showing us things to come, preparing us for the future, preparing us to be his disciples, his Talmudim, as lights in the darkness. We have no excuse because we have the word of God, that we are to study and show ourselves approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be able to defend our faith against, again, the lies of the enemy and those who would be trying to suppress the truth, suppress the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua. And we all need to yield ourselves to his perfect will, guard our eyes, guard our ears, and guard our hearts, and watch the words that come out of our mouth. We need to have circumcised lips. We need to speak in agreement with his word and not speak forth the lies of the enemy. Again, we are in a spiritual battle, but again, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. The Father has given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.